What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs, whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job. Choose Express Employment Professionals. Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where Traditional Medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Wind Down.
Emotionally stable today?
You feel very, you feel so like...
We would just start with a temperature check.
What's funny is that Hannah, sweet Hannah, she texted me yesterday going, hey, just checking on you to see how you're feeling about this week. Listen, it was way too soon to record. How many days was I? Monday. Four. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 days post-giving, or no, four, because we record on Friday.
Yeah.
So, but 4 days post having a C-section.
The problem is nobody could have told you differently, though.
True.
I actually thought we had the week off.
I was like, why are we podcasting? But don't tell her that because she's convinced she's got this, which you did. I mean, you did great.
I did until the very end of the show. I canceled Thursday therapy because I realized that morning that I wasn't really ready, but I also wanted to do the birth story and have you girls over. So I texted Hannah right before the episode and I said, hey girl, I'm just not feeling good. I cannot do, because the therapy one just felt like this, us girls, it is just fun, us hanging out. We got to chill, tell a story. But then the therapy in the back of my mind, it felt like work. And then I started to get anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just not ready yet. And then, so I had canceled that and then I felt good about that. But the second I started reading the ads when you guys left, y'all, this is so embarrassing, but Hannah and Easton were on we're on the Zoom, obviously, with us, and I'm in the middle of reading, like, ButcherBox, like, get your year free of, and I was like, I was like, I'm literally crying during the middle of a ButcherBox ad, but I just go, I don't know why I'm crying.
It was so sweet because you came downstairs and Kat and I are like, are you okay? And you go, no. I just started crying during a ButcherBox ad. And we both looked at each other like, okay, fair enough. And then Kat goes, so what was it about the ad that really brought you to tears? And I thought, yeah, I guess I was like,
was it the beef or the free range chicken?
Well, I don't know if maybe there was some aspect of it that actually, but no, it literally was just like, get your beef.
Passionate about animal rights? All of a sudden, I figured it out. I was like, it's okay.
I didn't even know. Yeah. I just was, maybe it felt like
maybe
work
tired.
And I just didn't want to be, I don't know.
Maybe you just gave birth. Maybe you don't need to have a reason.
But I was just reading it and then I just started crying. And then Hannah's like, this is the best part. Hannah's like, it's okay. We can just stop. Like, you don't have to. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm like covering my face because I get embarrassed, you know, moments like that. And then Easton goes, if you could just stop record on the recorder.
Easton's so tenderhearted.
And I was like, poor people.
I know. I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And then I go downstairs and I cry even more because I'm like, it was a ButcherBox ad. There's nothing against the beef or the eggs, but I just couldn't do it.
For people who have not given birth to a baby, it is the weirdest thing to me. I mean, I can remember. I don't know why I'm crying. It's the strangest feeling. Like there's no exit.
This time specifically, it has been harder for me to have those moments because I feel like I'm such a more well human, like a whole human, right, that normally if I'm like losing it, I can go, okay, Kristen, like what is the pit of this? Like why, what, there's no pit.
So you just give yourself
endless spiral of emotion. It's fine. Anyways, you're feeling good.
Yeah. So today I was like, okay, now I feel ready to podcast.
We can talk about beef and chicken.
We can talk about all the beef.
Next time you have a baby, we know to wait a week.
A week. Yes. Which y'all suggested. And I was like, no, I'll be fine. Totally fine.
Well, it does feel, I will say, like some normalcy, you know, like
sure,
when you were like, why are you jumping on? And I don't know that I even contributed anything. It just felt good to feel like a person again quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, you know, it's very, your body just goes through a lot. You feel a little sacrificial for a minute. And it's like, where do I land in all this besides caregiver?
So. Yeah. The crying though has, obviously I cried when the kids left for Virginia. And that was a very strange, that was the first time leaving or the kids leaving. And then having this sweet baby, it was a very weird, I felt a little guilt, little like, yeah, like the mom guilt.
I think you would
have, I'm here with the baby and
you would have probably felt that no matter what though.
Well, for, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
so
whether
that
you
felt
just had,
justified
right,
those
right,
tears.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that, like you said, like that piece is hard, but it's that weird balance. But then also I've really enjoyed this time just with me, Roman and Alan, you know, just that. And, but then that makes me feel a little guilty
too.
But it's been really nice just to have like, okay, some quiet.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. I mean, we talked about this last week when I was like, I wanted to stay at the hospital because I wanted time just us and the third baby.
Mm-hmm.
And like, don't feel bad about that. That's okay.
Yeah, it feels, Ashley Houston texted me. She's like, hey girl, checking in, like, how you feeling? And I'm like, very peaceful actually, with just the three of, and just laying there and we don't have to get up. And
yeah.
And again, I miss the bigs more than anything, but also I'm enjoying, you know, this special time with the three of us, because I even said to Alan, we're going to get the kids back in 5 days now. Like he's, when he comes back, like we get the kids. So this is with 5 days that we get to really just hunker down
and you're really not going to get that much.
No, besides the week,
I mean,
after Christmas and that's,
So it's few and far between. So enjoy it. Don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it. But like you said, you can miss your children.
Yeah.
And kind of wish they were here, but also enjoy this time. Just make the most of it.
And they're having a great time too.
They are. Yeah. Mike sent me a photo of the kids and I sent like a little cry face heart, like so happy. And I go, man, they're so loved and they're so happy
in this photo.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause they need that this time as well.
With, yeah.
You know,
absolutely. They're getting, because also when a new baby is here, like, it, you know, to see the positive side of it also, like the older kids do kind of get the shaft when a new baby is around. There's not much you can do about it. You've got a crying newborn that's whatever. So they actually are getting such one-on-one time and they are getting so just the time they probably wouldn't have had if they were here.
For what it's worth.
Yeah.
Yes to that.
I don't know if you have done this too. And you probably... same when Ramsey came home, but when the baby does cry too and the kids are here, I'm like, he's fine. Like, what do you need, Jolie? What do you need, Jace? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm always making sure I am tending to them because I don't want them to feel shafted.
Yeah.
You know, so
I also ask them what they think the baby needs because they like to try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like,
having them help is huge, especially the older ages when you have a little bit of a gap. I just made them so a part of it. Like, oh, okay, great. Can you do diapers? Can you get the diaper? Can you get the formula? I just like had them help and they just felt, and they always wanted to be there and help. And it was great.
Yeah. Jolie wants to help, but because she had that stomach bug, I'm just like, wait one more week, honey.
Well, yeah.
And Jace is just like always passes him and goes, oh, you're so cute. But then wants nothing else
to
do.
Fair enough.
And so I'm like,
good.
Yeah.
Well, Leggy's a little, an aggressive lover, which is probably genetic. But it gets a little like Lenny and the Rabbits with her. So I'm like, okay, a little, a little less. Because he's like, I just love her. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Tiny bones.
Okay. Tiny bones. All right.
But enough about me. How are you girls?
Good.
Kristen.
I'm like, I'm good. Kristen's like, oh, God.
Well, I think it's worth noting, since we're talking about new babies and all the things, we are starting to see a little bit, and I didn't want to...
I run very tight defense for our little piece of the world, my little corner of the world. I don't like people's opinions a lot. I don't like people saying, oh, you know, he's going to be like this or they're going to be like that.
You don't like furry things.
I don't like people telling me that like somebody's going to be this way. Right. And so I just let our experience unfold as it will.
Sure.
We are starting to, I'm starting to see the middle child moment with Legend, which I had strong, like, I never said it wasn't going to happen to us, but I had been so intentional about it that I was kind of praying it wouldn't happen. Also, Legend, the only boy, and he is a very alpha personality too. So without anything, he demands a certain amount of attention. I think in the long run, having a new baby is great for him because he needs someone he can lead and it's going to be really special to him. Right now, we are in a really interesting season. I'm watching a few things happen. Like he did start to, I always am careful about what I share with him too, because I don't want him like later 30 years listening to Wind Down more than our husbands do and able to like check back in. But like, you know, there were some accidents happening. There's some really just kind of like lousy choices. Like yesterday, an entire bottle of essential oil, which is not inexpensive, was dumped all over my bedroom. Smells like a dream in there. However, oh just like, you know, I can just tell we're needing a certain different type of attention.
Yeah.
And when he asks for it in his non-asking way, it's hard to like get compassionate in the moment.
Right.
Cleaning up oil and all the things. That's just prime examples. But we're in the thick of middle kid right now.
Well, so you say that, and I told this to you off air, but when you had spoken about how Legend was acting a little middle child, in my mind, I thought, well, Jace isn't going to do that. He's
I know.
Not at all. Like, we're good.
He's perfect.
And then, yeah. And then 2 days in, you know, he's looking for more attention by the loud, you know, singing that he's doing that he never sings in the
this is my life
in the bathroom. I'm glad he's singing, but I also know he's trying to look for attention.
It's the chorus on repeat.
He's burping at the table very loudly.
Oh,
and usually he doesn't do that. If he burps, he always says excuse me, but his burps are now exaggerated.
Okay,
and then there's that, and then so I'm trying to love on him in certain ways and talk to him, but I can also see, okay, I look like I'm following now your lead and going, all right, Kristen, there was something to this.
Yeah, it's strange because I feel like company morale as a whole is at an all-time high. Like, we right. all like her. I'm so thankful. We've had mutual friends that have had really tough experiences with one of the big kids not liking the baby at all.
Ooh,
and very vocal about it. And so I'm so thankful that's not the case. And it does, it has been harder. Preston's been traveling a lot. So I'm by myself pretty often. And I think like I feel kind of divided. And as she gets older, she needs more, she's awake longer and she needs more attention and she's rolling and trying to scoot. And so I can't just like put her somewhere and then give him the attention. So we're just learning all together right now.
Well, and I think it's such a balance for us. We really went through it more when Ramsey was more all over the place, not really a newborn. Newborn stage, everyone wanted to help. But then when she was all over the place and you're like making sure she doesn't die every second, you know, that's when we kind of had more of it. But I think it's such a balance to give them one-on-one time, but then also not give into that. Like, don't worry, I'm not doing anything with the baby. Like, I'm here. It's just such a balance because they have to learn that it is now three. You do have to, you can't be everywhere. A mom cannot do everything at once, you know? So it's like such a balance of really showing them that. But, and I know it's hard for you because you don't, Preston isn't home a lot, but I do think it's also important to do the one-on-one stuff.
Yeah. Like the other day, sorry, I almost called him Alan. Jace was like, mommy, will you play Legos with me? And I'm like, yes. Cause that was one-on-one time. Jolie was at her friend's. And so, and I just, you know, gave the baby to Alan and the little rocker thing and sat up there and played Legos and that. And I think it was Dr. Amen that he said, spend 10 minutes alone each day with the kids, something that they want to do for 10 minutes. And that's going to be something that they're going to remember. And that helps that relationship too. So that's been something I've always thought about as well.
We do that of like when the baby is just like there and I can see Leggy out of the corner of my eye, I'll say like, are you looking for Legend? Where is he? I bet he's looking for you. And then he's like, I'm right here. And I'm like, oh, well, thank goodness. We were just wondering where, you know, just trying to like validate.
And well, I think they all feel it to a certain extent.
They all are. And it's so normal. And you're going to mess up and you're going to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just, we're all doing the best we can.
Do I have any Grey's Anatomy fans here?
I knew Kat was.
Of course I am.
I stopped the 20th season. I don't know what season. Like,
I was like 21, maybe.
Yeah, I watched a lot of it. But I'm really excited to have Sarah Drew come on the show. So she's obviously, she's been in Mad Men, Glee, everything, but she's best known as her part in Grey's Anatomy. And she's just, she also, which I didn't find out until way later, but she wrote, so I have a movie coming out on Lifetime, December 9th. She wrote A Cowboy Christmas Romance. So I'm excited to talk to her about that too.
Starring and you, baby starring, Roman.
I know.
Secret baby Roman.
But let's get her on.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require.
Hi.
Hi.
I feel like I know you. Well, obviously I know of you. I've watched you on Grey's Anatomy a million years, like for so many years. And then Ryan McPartland talks about you all the time. And Brian and Herzlinger. I'm just like, I feel like I
Margaret.
I know. I feel like, you know, kind of a stalker or psycho, but I'm like, I know so much of her and I just feel like we're friends and I don't even know you, but hi.
Well, hi. And girl, I watched every single take on all the dailies. And so
did
I feel
really?
Like, oh, 100%. I was shooting a movie in Canada when you were shooting in Arizona. And so I would get the dailies every night. I would come home from shooting and I would sit in my bathtub because that's what I do when I'm on set shooting. I have to have a bathtub because that's like my wind down time. And I'd have my iPad and I would be watching your gorgeous, beautiful, talented face. And you were so good in this. You are so good in this. Oh, I could not have asked
for anyone else. It was such beautiful work. Have you seen it? I hope you're so proud of it.
So I actually haven't watched it yet. I've only, you know, I would obviously did the ADR and I've seen little pieces of it. It's honestly, okay. So when I got the script and I read, it said untitled, what was it? Untitled. What did you have?
I don't even know. This? There were so many names. I named it Cowboy Christmas, but then it became Christmas on the Ranch, and then it became a Cowboy Christmas romance. So it's gone through many iterations.
But when I got it, and this is not against you at all, but as you probably know this too, and you get, I'm like, oh God, another Christmas movie. I'm like, I can't.
We've done so many.
Yeah. Christmas in Mississippi, Tennessee, Michigan. Like I've got it in every state. So I'm just like, okay, here's another one. And I'm like, this is going to be the same thing. And I'm reading it and I'm going, this is nothing like any Christmas. I'm like, oh, you barely mentioned the word Christmas. There's no gingerbread bake-off. There's no festival, that town that's going to hell and then you got to save it. It's like the only thing was like, okay, coming back and seeing, you know, Adam or his character. But I'm reading it and I'm like, I'm crying when I read it. And I wrote back to my agent and I was like, this is nothing. I don't even know how this is a Christmas movie. This is so good. I'm like, it's so good. And I'm like, I'm literally reading the script crying. And I was like I was blown away. And so I was like, I'm doing this movie. I have to do this movie. Yeah. Cause it was so different. It's not. Yeah. And that's, everyone's like, well, I don't understand. It's on Lifetime. I go, yeah, but this is nothing like any of the other ones.
No, it's so different. I thank you so much for saying all of that. I've done a lot of these Christmas movies too, and they're so sweet and fun, but I also feel like
it's the same formula.
In real true holiday times for real true family dynamics, it's always stressful and heightened. There's drama that comes out, and we never explore that stuff in the Christmas movies. It's always just about the cozy feelings. And those cozy feelings happen, but it's all mixed up with real family stuff and identity stuff and relationship stuff.
When I'm yelling at my dad, Bruce Thomas's character, I'm like, oh, this is like meat, you know, like something to like grab onto. Like, this is so cool. I get to like yell at my dad and be like, you weren't there. I'm like, that's everything I wanted to like say in one of those movies, you know? But yeah, it's like you gave it bones.
Oh, thank you for saying that. And thank you for just owning it so amazingly well and diving so fully in. Like you brought such power to all of those scenes. That scene with you and Bruce is one of my favorites in the whole movie, when you finally have that face off and then and it's like, you guys are just still, you're not, there's no moving around. There's no hoopla, Christmas hoopla. It's just two people really wanting to connect and finally saying all of the things that need to be said. Yeah. And like, there's a beautiful like redemption, and you guys played it so well. I got goosebumps in my bathtub watching the dailies.
Thank you for saying that. That was the one of the scenes where, so I was pregnant, obviously, in the movie.
Yes.
And so that was a piece where it was hard because I felt sick. And that scene, I was so bummed because I felt I had just like gotten sick right before that scene. And I was just kind of felt a little, I was like, no, this is like the most important scene in the freaking movie. So, but I think
I talked
to Jake and I'm like, all right, well, we can, I liked the top half, hated the bottom, liked the bottom of the second take. So I'm like, I was like, you know, when you're just, those scenes are tough to.
Yes.
But
no, but you totally, but by the way, like, you'd be nauseous in a moment like that. Like you were able to fully use all of that. It's so good. It's so good.
And Jake, or the director is so great. But the last week of filming that, he's like, please don't take this the wrong way. He's like, but you're going to have to just suck in just a little bit. And I was like, if I was not pregnant, that I would have.
Obviously.
I don't think you could ever gotten away with
it. No.
Because I'm double Spanx, and really, like, I will, because I popped that last week of filming, but I'm like, this is the only time you can ever say that to an actress.
Totally.
I can't wait to watch it and see if I can tell.
You can. I think.
Hunting for it. Of course you are. But I feel like y'all hit it really, really well.
Thank you.
So Sarah, you have like, okay, so you have a really big career before this epic Christmas movie has happened. And we are all excited for December 9th on Lifetime to watch Jana star in this cowboy Christmas that romance.
Sarah Drew wrote amazing.
That's right. So you have this really wild and wide resume of show business that started. Are you a Jersey kid or Rhode Island?
No, New York. I grew up on Long Island.
Okay.
Long Island. Sorry.
Yeah, an island.
You went Rhode
also
Island.
Postmortem.
And
I
it's
did.
Close
I went
to Jersey, so you're in the right world.
Yeah, but
so
we
close.
All know East Coast, that does matter. We can't just be does. Tossing around islands and putting people in places.
You're 100% correct.
Sarah Drew has left the Zoom.
Yeah. So not great at geography. Super love you. So then you started in theater first, mm-hmm. correct? And
yes.
that took off like a wild ride for you. That mm-hmm. was crazy and amazing. And then agents came knocking because you're incredible. Okay, so
I'll just stay here forever. Can I just
yeah, you should. I need your brush over here though. I'm a little shiny. So will you okay, so tell me a little bit about how you make this, how you go from, because you're now writing a lot of things, which has got to be pretty cool. And I feel like I'm not an actress by any means, obviously, but I feel like for people like Jana that are actually, you know, like acting these movies out, they've got to be able to feel that in those scripts that someone that has played the other side of that is really looking out for them or identifying in certain areas. So tell me how you go. Well, just tell me everything, but tell me how you go from I am theater, I'm acting, I'm doing Grey's Anatomy. I mean, these are big, big things and projects you're doing. And now you're writing a lot. Does that feel more comfortable? Does it feel like it's on brand or just like, of course, very organic?
So thank you for that question. It's so fun because it's just firing up different parts of my brain and different parts of my creative expression. And I got a little taste of the creative process when I was an executive producer on a movie I did like in 2018. And I got obsessed with all of the how the sausage is made and all the creative pieces of it. I was tracking every character's emotional journey so that I could be like answer a question or, you know, help anybody in the journey. I was helping. I rewrote some of the scenes for that movie because I was like, I'm saying it out loud and the words don't make sense in a kind way.
Sure.
I just mean like, in the sometimes when you're a writer and you're not an actor, you haven't put it to the test. You haven't said the thing out loud. You haven't tracked this beat to this beat to this beat to know whether it's making sense in your brain, right? But I've been doing that my whole life. I've been acting my whole life. And so all during Grey's Anatomy, I had a really beautiful collaborative relationship with the writers where it was like, they were very open to suggestion, to pitches. If anything didn't feel exactly authentic to who you were in that moment as a character, whatever, you go and you hash it out and you talk about it. So I had a lot of practice of like, I know where you're going in this scene. I think we can get there if I say it like this. Or I think there's one little piece that's missing between point A and point B for me to make that whole emotional arc and journey. So I've always been in my career thinking through it and have read it like you, Jana, a billion scripts. And you know which ones are great. You know which roles you want to play. And you know which ones are like just surfacey, cookie cutter. You know, you can tell. And so for me, whenever I'm deciding to do a project, it's always about the meat of it. Like, where does this character get to have an arc? Does this character get to have a journey? So it wound up. So my first one that I wrote, I had just come back from shooting the movie with Ryan McPartlin.
Who's the best?
The best, 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 best. With Ryan and Brian and Steph and Margaret. We had just done Twinkle All the Way. And we were all on set. We had the best time. And we were all just like geeking out over creativity. Mm-hmm. And Ryan really inspired me to start thinking about my own stories. So I went home and came up with like a pitch and presented the pitch to Steph and Margaret. And I was like, we should probably hire a writer. And they're like, or you should buy Final Draft and write it yourself because you've already clearly, you've just told us the entire world and we see it as if we're living in it right now. Like there's no other, you should write it. Just buy Final Draft and write it. And right. I needed that kick in the pants from those women because I would not have done it if they hadn't told me to. And I wrote it. And then we wound up selling it to Lifetime. So we made that last year. And then I was just like, And then I went and shot a Western last fall and I fell in love with Jesse Bell and his whole family, so Jana. Yeah. Yes, they were my wranglers on my Western. And I had so many conversations. Like Abby is based on Abby.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So his daughter, a horse wrangler's daughter, was the girl who plays Abby, was her like stunt rider.
Oh, yeah.
So she was on set and I had had all these conversations with Jesse and his son partner, and some of the like dinner table conversations came straight out of conversations I had with partner about like training horses. So I was like, okay, how about let's jump into this world a little bit because I'm obsessed with this world. Let's sprinkle a little Christmas in. Let's like put some roots down in. Let me write a character I would want to take a journey on as an actor. And let me make sure as I'm writing it that every moment makes sense to the next, to the next, to the next. And that's kind of, so it ended up being, sorry, it was a very long-winded answer.
No,
I want it all.
Want all of it. I'm in it.
Because I love you in the story.
Yeah. I'm here.
You actually were in the story. She knows the stories. We don't know all the stories, partner and Abby and all the things. You better tell us everything.
That family is magic. Magic. And I was so thrilled that once I like reached out to Autumn and she was like, well, I think we might shoot in Arizona. And I was like, oh my gosh, we Jesse Bell, you have to reach out to Jesse Bell. Like that's who these characters are based on.
That's so cool. I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I do think it's incredible though, that you're giving the human experience mixed in with this, like even, and I haven't seen the movie, but just the honesty of like, it isn't always Christmas and wonderful. And because it's not, quite honestly, no. Sarah Drew.
No.
Especially it's like, yeah, it's like layered and it's human and there's relationships. And sometimes I love a good Christmas, like give it to me, you know, like a beautiful, let's decorate cookies. But also I need some real raw honesty because that's not my life.
She also wrote a very, it's the first Christmas movie that has a sex scene.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at
you. You just said, give it to me. And I was like, you mean Adam Sen? I'll give you.
Yeah. But I was like, I'm also, when I read it, I was like, well, this is going to be interesting. I'm like, how are we going to do this with the baby belly? And so we're on this spoiler alert. Or
spoiler alert. For he sure.
lays me down on some hay.
Wow.
And then I'm like, and then we, you know, and then you what?
You know.
You know, obviously it's still a Lifetime, it's still family.
Yeah.
But it was pushing limits there too. But when they cut and then the next morning, outtake, I was like, we made a baby.
By the way, that scene, I mean, it all came out so beautifully, but especially the scene in the kitchen, I had written the stage directions. He pulls her up onto the counter. Mm-hmm. He shoves things off the table. I was like,
Sarah Drew. Oh, yeah.
No, I put it all in there. So I was like, don't take the steam and the sex away from me. I wrote it on purpose.
Well,
I
want it in there. Like, this is not like a Christmas movie I've ever read before. I'm like, and Alan's like, how's the script? I'm like, it's great.
It's great.
I don't think a Christmas little added ho, ho, ho. That never hurt anybody. We all need a little. I mean, now we're talking real life.
But yeah, I mean, and I was like, well, that's why I kept saying this is nothing like anything. And I was actually surprised that Lifetime, but they didn't cut anything.
No, they didn't cut anything.
I was so happy that they really left it all in there.
Tia Magini is amazing. And amazing. She was just like, give it all to me. I want all of it. Yes. And love. I was so thrilled that she said yes to all of it.
Because
how sad would that have been if that scene just got cut?
Well, that is where I was. Again, I love Lifetime so much and I'm so thankful for them and they're fantastic and what they've done and helped me with. But when I also knew that they picked it up, I was like, oh, I hope they don't cut anything because it's so special. Like all of it, you know, every piece that needs to be in there that made that script why I want to do it. Because, you know, people that don't know, they obviously when they acquire a movie, then they go in and they give the director and editors their notes.
Right.
No notes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so that was so cool.
Yeah. They were just like, yes.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require.
Can I ask you about grays really fast?
Sure.
Okay. So what was the, so we do sad part of the day, happy part of the day, but what's it? It's a pit and a peak. Okay. So what was the pit of grays and what was the peak?
You know, it's such a great question. And my pit and peak are one and the same. And it was and it's actually been the thing that has, like, someone asked me recently, what's the engine that drives your life? And for me, it's about holding pain and hope together at the same time, intertwined. Mm-hmm. And my engine is looking for the beauty and the joy in the pain. So for me, when I was written off the show, it came as a total shock and it was very, very devastating. Like I was blindsided by it. Mm. It didn't make any sense to me.
And as a watch a viewer, yeah. I agree. And honestly, that's when I stopped watching because it did not make sense at all. Like literally. Yeah. And I'm like, well, no, April, they have to be together. Like what? Yeah. Like what are you doing? I did not understand it at all. So sorry. That was a viewer anger too.
And I think you are echoing what everybody echoing. I mean, nobody understood it. It was so confusing, which is why I say that it was so painful, but like piercingly joyful, because I had another couple weeks still on the show after knowing that I was going, and the outpouring of love from the fans. Yes. I mean, they got a plane to fly over the studio with a banner saying, "We love you, Sarah Drew and Jessica Capshaw." Like, what? You know? Mm-hmm. So the fan outpouring of love was bananas. But even more for my heart, it was my crew and my cast. They put together these boxes for us on our last day. Everybody had written a letter to us. And I was having crew members come up to me to be like, there was this one moment 5 years ago when we had this conversation, it meant so much to me. And I want to say thank you, you know, before you go, right? And if I had stayed on the show forever and I'd left when everybody else did, I would not have experienced the visceral love bomb that was the experience. So I mean, I remember even when Shonda and Betsy called me just to tell me they love me and, you know, wish me the best or whatever.
But aren't they the ones that also wrote you?
No, off? it was a different showrunner at that point.
Oh,
made that choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when they called me just to say, we love you and, you know, best of luck and everything. And it was still very fresh and very raw. It was like the day after whatever. I was so overcome with how loved I was on that set that all I could do was weep. I was literally just weeping on the phone with joy, like thanking them for the opportunity they'd given me to be a part of this family and be a part of this legacy. Like that's truly the only thing I was feeling. I was overcome. So you talk about like highs and lows. It felt so sad. I was hurt so much. I've never been fired or written off of anything, or I'm such a hard worker. I know my value. I know I'm good at what I do. So it hurts so bad. And then it also, I was so intensely loved in it that I wouldn't trade any of it for the world. I'm so glad I had it together. Mm-hmm. And then that reality of holding those two things, pain and joy, just that's what life is. We are just in that all the time. That is the journey. And the drive and the engine that I am just on all the time is, okay, this is painful. I'm feeling it. I'm looking at it. I'm experiencing it. Where do I find the glory in it? Like I'm a huntress for the glory.
Right. No,
I love the beauty and for the joy.
And I love that piece. I think when I'm listening to that, I go to the place where, yes, I love the and all that. I also want to know the why in it too. Mm-hmm. And so though I appreciate the and, I would go, but why? Like, I just want to know why you chose to do that. Like, did you have that kind of conversation afterwards, or did you just let it kind of go?
I never really got a real why. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had to mourn that and let it go. I mean, I got a why, but it was just like, we put you through so much that we don't know what else to write for you. And I'm like, but you've been able to do that for everybody else. So right. I don't.
And you're like, and I'll write it myself, actually.
And I'll write it better.
Yeah. So,
there you go. Like, matter.
I'll show you.
but the why actually that I've been answering over the last 5 years is the why is so that I could go and expand. Mm-hmm. In the ways I've been expanding as a creator, as a producer, as a writer. I'm about to go direct a radio play, and like all of these things that I'm entering into, it was like, it was time. Sure. I didn't know that it was time, but that's where my faith comes in to play in that, because I wouldn't have left on my own volition. The money's too good. It's too stable of a job. I have a family, you know, like I wouldn't have gone. And I loved it there. That's the other thing. It was a beautiful time and experience. So I wouldn't have gone. But if I hadn't gone, I wouldn't be writing. I wouldn't be producing. I wouldn't be activating my brain and my heart on all these other layers and levels that has like fed my soul and brought me so much joy.
It's been a
gift.
So
that to me is the why. That's the why. The why is that God was like, it's time for you to go over here. And I know it's going to be painful, but you're going to get it later.
And you can't do it for yourself, so I'm going to do it for you.
Yeah.
Well, and you were in a comfortable place. You just sit in that comfort sometimes. And sometimes it takes God to take us out of that to say, okay, this is what I need. I mean, it was 9 years of your life?
I was on the show for 9 years. Yeah.
I mean, that is
in that industry specifically.
Yeah.
That's like,
it's crazy.
That's dog years.
I got to have both my babies on that show where they like took such good care of me. And, you know, it's like a matriarchy over there, right? So like I kept working. I never, you know, missed a paycheck. I got to, and they worked it. They did that. Like everybody says, if you want to have a baby, go get on the show.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's right. Because which was a scandal. Carrie, she was also
compliment.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just such a compliment, I feel like.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important.
But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles in operation. Compatible device and vehicle require. How long have you been married for?
21 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, so possible? Yeah, so that's also because wind down. We always talk a lot about relationships. So what's been the pit and the peach of that? Like, what's been the hardest piece? And then, you know, how obviously, you know, your faith, I'm sure, plays a big piece in that too. But
yeah, so probably we had a really dark season 7 years into our relationship, about 5 years into our marriage.
Seven was terrible for us.
7 years
as Jana likes to say.
I think for us, it was, we had always been long distance all through dating. And even in the first like 5 years of our marriage, like crazy, uh-huh. Like we would always come together, but he was working here and then I was working there. And then we would come together part of every week and then go our separate ways again. It was just, we never were living and working in the same space and hadn't yet until we moved to LA and planted down in LA. And then we were like, oh, there's some shit we got to work out. Because you're able to like get the space and ignore it. And then once you're face to face with it, you're like, there's a lot of stuff. And for us, it was all about communication. It was learning the script of like, when you did this one thing, it made me feel this way. What I'm hearing from you is that when I did this one thing, it made you feel that way. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yes, that is correct. That is how, thank you for validating my feelings in this moment. Okay, I'm so sorry for making you feel that way. So much. I appreciate the apology. Can I now explain to you what I meant when I said that thing? Yes, now I'm ready to receive it.
Can I explain to you why I want to lose my mind? Because, yeah.
Yes, yeah, and the funny thing is, it's the weirdest little script, and it's the thing that completely made our marriage make sense. We were just... Our love language, we were missing each other entirely. I could not receive it from him, even though he was giving it, he was piling it onto me, but in a language I didn't understand. And then he wouldn't give the thing that I did understand to me. And so I just felt unloved and he felt unheard and he felt like I was accusing him all the time. And we just had to learn the script to be like, oh, when you did that thing, you were actually trying to enter into my world, not tell me what to do. Interesting, right. You know? Yeah. And so, and I also believe that was like, it was like a God thing. I mean, another really big thing in my marriage was that I had like a liar living inside of me, telling me I was shit all the time. I had a lot of shame and a lot of like, you're bad. You're just not good. And I had this script in my head that was like, my husband, I was very charming when we dated. He didn't know what he was getting himself into. And now that he really knows me and he's seen all my shit, he's too good of a man to leave me. But it's like he's living with an invalid wife.
Hmm. Well, that's not fair to the girl that I'm talking to at
all. No. And I remember saying all that out loud in therapy and our counselor being like, Peter, how do you receive that? And he's like, I just love this woman so much. I don't know what to do. And he's like, I think you got a liar living inside you and you got to tell that liar to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how do I do that? And I remember I had an army of women praying for me. Cause I was like, I don't know how to reprogram my brain to look at myself the way God looks at me and the way my husband looks at me, because all I see is like shit on top of shit.
That was probably old childhood stuff or teens or whatever. Yeah, that just, or old boyfriends or whoever.
And twisted theology stuff sometimes. Like sometimes, it's interesting, sometimes that's the theology stuff creeps in a way that affected me but didn't affect my brother, just because of the way that we received messaging, you know? And nobody's fault, just I'm pre-wired, predisposed to think everything is my fault, you know? So, and it's weird. It's like not something my parents modeled. I don't know where it came from. My brother doesn't experience it, but I had to really work on that. And I remember this one morning waking up in our home and I've been praying about this like liar who's telling me that I'm not valuable and not worthy. And, my husband comes into the kitchen and he looks at me and he goes, morning, honey, I love you. And I felt this like fire from my toes all the way up my whole body to the top of my head. I felt it in every cell of my body. And all I could think was, I believe you.
Mm.
Oh, good.
And it was just like, I'm somebody's favorite person forever. He chooses me daily and he does love me. He's not just saying it. It's real. And that for me was a God thing. That was just like that was a changing of my heart that needed to happen. So it was the communication and it was the self-worth. So again, darkest time, but also they all come in pairs to me. It was also the most brilliant moment of entering into a new journey and a new chapter of my marriage and my relationship. And that was before we had kids. And now we have these two kids and we have this life and we know how to talk to each other and we know how to show each other our love. I just feel like we're kind of unshakable at this point after going through that. So that would be my peak as well.
No, oh, I love that. And yeah, now 20 years, dang girl, keep going. Love it. That's beautiful.
I do think though, would you agree that, and I think we're kind of all similar too, like when you talk about things all being your fault, I wonder sometimes, I've learned in this journey I've been on, that if I take it on, if it's my fault, then I can go ahead and get it fixed too. Because if it's, if I'm waiting for someone else to own it, well, then we all know how that plays out.
Yes.
That could be exhausting. So if we just take it, we'll just go ahead and take that and then we can fix it.
Yep.
But then we're just taking on a bunch of stuff that's just not even ours to have.
But it's not even ours. Exactly. It's not my responsibility and it's not even real. It's not even real. Like that's the thing. It's like a false reality of, okay, well, maybe if I can get ahead of a thing. I mean, part of it is also just the thought of hurting someone is my worst nightmare. I'm such a people pleaser. I hate conflict more than anything. And I want people to feel seen and known and loved when they're in my presence. It's very important to me. And if someone is hurt by something I've done, I spin in my brain to try to get ahead of it so that I can pre-apologize just in case maybe I did something.
She's our human.
Would you really like to come now? Come sit on the couch. Sit on the couch.
Yeah. I just had the same discussion. I was like, I didn't mean to hurt. Like, I didn't know. Like, because we never intend to ever, we never want people to hurt. And like, that was not my intention. Then it was, you know, it's like the ripple effect of wanting to I don't want to say people please, but just you want people to feel loved and seen and heard and anything. You're like, I didn't mean it like that. I hope you know what I'm taking like that. I would never, because I want you to be happy. And so
we also live in a very like a living in offense society.
Yes.
So, for people like us, the big feelers, the big huggers, the big, oh, we just want to love on you and like swaddle you and carry you around. Like,
yes.
It's extra tricky for our people right now because everyone's got a chip on their shoulder.
Yep.
Not everyone.
Some aversion of you. But it's like, that's not like you're, that's not it at all. Like,
you don't even know me.
I would never even intended to do that or hurt. Like, no.
Right.
And so then you just feel terrible because you're like, that's not who I am. And they think that this is who I am. And that sucks.
Well, but that's also part, like that was honestly what happened in my marriage too. It was like, I would accuse and he was like, but that's not who I am. You're saying something that's not, like not my identity. I didn't intend that. Like my husband would never want to hurt a fly and he doesn't. He's like such a good man. He's such a sweet, good man. And like never would intentionally hurt anyone. But he doesn't think about, he's not thinking nine steps ahead like I am. He's just living his life in peace and being who he is. You know?
What a way to live.
I'm like, what is that?
How do you do that?
Spinning ahead of the game and then wanting, because like the thought of being surprised with a you hurt me. Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Just walking around with an I'm sorry shirt on all of the time. Like, we've got it.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. Please let us know whenever you're in Nashville because you are welcome here.
I was just in Nashville.
Oh,
I know.
Was it last week because she was busy? She had a baby.
Oh, of course. Yes, you're having a baby.
Last week.
Babe, how is he?
He's amazing. He's a little squish.
He's
love him.
Actually the most handsome baby I've ever seen. And I have a son.
He's a prince.
I mean, look at his parents. Can you, I mean.
Specimens. Right.
Well, next time you're in Nashville, yes. let us know, please. And thank you for coming on and sharing all of it. Thanks for writing an amazing script. And we can't wait to follow along with everything you've
awesome.
Done.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. So
thank
nice
you, girl,
to meet
Sarah.
You all.
Bye. Nice to meet you.
Bye. Bye.
I need to know how old Sarah Drew is because she literally looks like she's 30.
She's beautiful. Yeah, I think she's our age.
She's been married for 21 years. I was trying to do the math and I'm like, it doesn't add up to higher face.
No, I love her. How does it feel to know that Kepner was in her bathtub watching you in a movie every day?
She's 43. I
was like, Kepner watched you in the bathtub.
I love you.
I love it. I loved her on the show. So, I mean, I was like, that's just so cool. And I'm like, thanks, girl.
So cool. Thanks,
girl. And now I'm like, shit, she saw that some of those dailies. Yeah,
you're probably going through it. Oh, I know. Do you want to pre-apologize for anything?
Well, because that one scene was, I was so bummed because it was the scene where I'm telling Bruce Thomas's character, I'm like, you've never seen me, Dad. You've never. And that's the big emotional scene that I cried in when I was reading the script. But
I can't wait to
watch
it.
And then I was sick and I was like, oh, but I did get the top in the end. I just like to have one full pass where it's like
perfectionism coming in.
I am. But I love you guys.
I love you so much.
This was fun. Good job.
All three of us didn't cry.
This was good.
Love y'all.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where traditional medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God.
Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.